me in verse 11 and 13, 11 through 13, 1 John chapter 5. We're in the series on Sunday mornings through the great first book, or the first John, and their 2 John and 3 John. And so we're in the last chapter, closing down the book, the chapters, the second chapter. 2 John and 3 John are very small books. And while you're turning to 1 John 5, then that one song talking about prayer, that's going to be our topic next week. Look at verse 15 and 16. And this is for next week, but since we sung about it, I'll just kind of give you a little tease about it. And if we know that we hear, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. And it also says that, and this is the confidence in verse 14, that we have in him that if we ask anything in his name, and when you ask, that's prayer, we ask anything in his name, if we pray anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so we just sung about prayer. I'll look at those verses because we're going to be there next Sunday morning. And but this morning we're going to be in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. 11 through 13. 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get started in our study this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful service we've had so far, just worshiping you, praising you, lifting our arms and hands to you, exalting you and lifting you up. And Lord, that's the purpose of church, is to not sing to people or man or faces, but to sing to you. And so, Lord, we pray that it always have that spirit. And Father, we thank you for the sweet spirit that we sense this morning, these wonderful songs, these wonderful hymns, these wonderful truths and choruses that we got to sing together. And Lord, now we come to this hour, this time, this portion of our morning service. Father, I pray that you just allow me to speak to the men, women, and young people today. Lord, let me speak to their human ears. And Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to their hearts. And Father, we just pray that you would allow us to hear this truth and simply have an understanding of this truth. And Lord, this truth will give us joy and confidence and assurance because of what Scripture says. And so we pray you just speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the game show, the $10,000 pyramid that was on TV for many years, contestants played in pairs. So they played together as couples or partners. And one partner would, in that game show, one partner would simply give a list of specific items that they saw they knew. And they would give the list so that the other partner would hear the list, and then they would guess what each of those items had in common. And that's how you proceeded. That's how you kind of went forward in the game and possibly won $10,000. An example would be these three clues: a boat, a buoy, and an empty plastic water bottle. And so that's what the person that saw the list would read to his partner. Hopefully that would give them enough clues, enough insight that they could guess. And so the answer would be things that float: a boat, a buoy, a plastic water bottle. Things that float. In our verses this morning here in 1 John chapter 5, John gives us specific lists. Eternal life. Belief. Confidence. So the category would be things every Christian can know and possess. You can know you can have eternal life. You can know it. Simply have confidence by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to kind of unpack this, these verses, and amazing, amazing verses we have before us today. Verse 11, notice what it says. John, the human author of 1 John, simply under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he starts off in our verses in verse 11, and this is the record. Hold it just a minute. This is the record. And John says, I've got the documents. I've got the facts. I've got the truth. This is the record. And he goes on to say, this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life. He said you can mark it down. You can bank on it. You can just accept it. You can have confidence. You can know it. That God does give eternal life. So the question to us today, and this is like elementary, but let's just go there. What is eternal life? Now, in layman's terms, that phrase eternal life, you know, that's a church term, so we know what that is. Outside the doors of Spradlin Baptist Church, in the secular world, and where you work, where I might work out there, where you go to school, where I went to school, or where your neighborhood are, you know, not everybody would understand what eternal life is. It's kind of a Bible, it's a Bible term, and so not everybody understands that term. So what is it? In layman's term, it's endless life. Never-ending life. Now, we can't get our arms around that. We can't grasp that because we as humans have a physical life. We understand that life ends at death when our spirit departs these bodies. But the truth is, for a Christian, that don't happen. For a Christian who has accepted Christ as their personal Savior and in a relationship with Him, then at our death, we simply have extended life, eternal life. Forever life, endless life, according to Scripture. But eternal life is really more than just endless life. It's more than never-ending life. It's more than just longevity. It's a quality life like we've never known. Eternal life. Eternal life means eternal security. Now that's a doctrine based on Scripture that not all denominations understand, accept, or agree with the way we agree with it. So eternal life simply means eternal security. We can know, we can have confidence. We have the record, John says. And so it means, here's what it means, eternal security means, it means that those of us, you and me, those of us that are here today, Spradlin Baptist Church, who have a personal relationship with Jesus. Here's what it means. Don't miss it. It gets deep. Those of us who have entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, can never lose their salvation for any reason whatsoever. That's what we believe, Scripture teaches. Not everybody believes that. And let me say early in the message, that when the doctrine of eternal life is taught correctly, then it can be caught correctly. I used to have a team of sales reps, and I would send maybe a new rep that got out of training with one of my top reps so they could kind of watch for the day and see how they interacted with doctor staff and hospital staff and with front staff people and nurses and doctors. And I've had that new rep go with a seasoned rep that simply was incredible. I mean, we send them with those people for the purpose. They just got out of training. They got all this stuff in gear. But I want them to see someone in action. And the whole purpose of sending them is because some things, don't miss it, some things are better caught than taught. We understand that as salespeople. See, we got all this learning in class and role plays in class and breaking down prescription medicine so that we can detail and educate doctors on that. We got all this stuff. But if you go spend a day or two with the top rep and they're interacting with doctors and nurses and they're telling them about this drug and they're telling them about what it does and the symptoms and the side effects and what they can take it with and so forth, there's just some things that are caught better than
And then when you catch it, then that teaching that you've got just help enhance the ability to simply be a great salesperson and be a great educator when it comes to what this medicine might do for a patient that has X, Y, and Z symptoms or disease or illness or ailments. And so it can be grasped. And so when eternal security, when eternal life is taught correctly, it can be caught, or a word we'll use, it can be grasped. We get our arms around it. And that's what the purpose of this subject matter is. It's never been a problem for me to accept eternal security, eternal life. But a lot of people, I think they're saved, but they just have doubts. And so not everybody can grasp it. But hopefully today, you can not only hear it taught correctly, but you can also it's taught, but hopefully be caught for many today. The doctrine, this doctrine of eternal security, this doctrine of being promised eternal life will give us a constant source of comfort, a constant source of joy, and a constant source of strength for all Christians if we can get a hold of the doctrine of eternal life, which equals eternal security. Look at verse 13. It's one of the key verses in Scripture, period, as far as this doctrine is concerned. It's 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Key verse, crucial verse, vital verse when it comes to eternal life, eternal security. It's a strategic verse on the doctrine of eternal life, eternal security. Right here, 1 John, very simple, beans and taters, bottom rung of the ladder, is it just tells you what you have to do, who gives it to you, and how you acquire it. It's all right there. Now think about when you receive a letter in the mail. When you or I receive a letter in the mail, we want to know who's it from, who wrote it, and we want to know why they wrote the letter. Well, here, John, the human author of 1 John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, simply we know that he writes this letter. So we know who it's from. And number two, we know why he writes this letter, especially these verses. Because verse 13 states, it's possible to truly be saved. Don't miss it. It's saying that it's possible to be truly saved, but not to have full assurance of eternal security. He's stating it there. It'd be better to have assurance. It'd be better to have the confidence. It'd be better to not have to go through your life wondering. But he said that it's a great possibility because it is a possibility that people might kind of wonder. And they have some doubts. They don't have assurance. He says in verse 13 that someone can know with certainty that they have eternal life. So he says two things there. That some people can know. Other people might have a hard time grasping the assurance. And so we need to break it down so we can get, you know, so we can decide what's involved. So now let's get into where the rubber meets the road in this thing called eternal life, eternal security. Look at verse 13. Let's pull the word out there. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to Christians. He just said that. He's writing to those of us who have accepted Christ. He's writing to us who have realized we're sinners. We owe a sin debt. We realize Jesus was our substitute and he paid our sin debt. And so we've accepted him and his payment on the cross for us. So these things, he's writing to them, to those believers. Okay, so that's who he's writing to. That you may know. There it is. He said, I'm writing to you. You can know that you have eternal life. John uses the word K-N-O-W. No, he uses that word 40 times. Joyce, there's that word 40 again. Me and Joyce had a conversation this week about the number 40 throughout Scripture. He uses it 40 times in the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 40 times he uses the word no. We can know some stuff. We can have confidence about some things. We can simply have assurance about some things. And that's what he's saying there. John writes it 40 times. John desires that Christians know. No, number one, you're saved. He said you can know that. And no, number two, you have eternal life. Now, both those things are easier for me to believe. I got saved when I was 10. I just accepted with childlike faith that Jesus is going to do what he says he would do. So it's been easy for me. But in growing up and learning and growing and maturing and being around folks, it's not so easy for some people. But John says, not me, Scripture says, John writes, that we can know, no doubts. We can know, don't wonder. We can know, not maybe so. We can know, according to him, and have confidence and assurance that we have eternal life, eternal security. In other words, we don't have to guess if we're saved or not. We don't have to guess if we're secure or not. We don't have to wonder if we've got it or not. We don't have to doubt, have any doubts about it. We can know that's according to what we're reading. That's a wonderful thing that we can know. Now, according to many denominations, according to many Bible believers, according to long-term Christ followers. So we put them in a class that, hey, these are people that they understand the word, they understand that it's God's word, they're Christ followers, they're Bible believers. They're just maybe in a different denomination. But their answer to eternal security, don't miss it, their answer is this. You have to die first. And then find out if you have eternal life, if you make it to heaven or not. That sounds silly to me. But people, there's denominations that believe that. You don't know until you die. Well, that's not what John says. He said, we got the record. He said, you can know. He said, there's certainty about this. You can have assurance. And with certainty, and with knowing, and with having no doubts about it, hey, you can have joy and peace and strength in your journey as a Christian on this earth because you have that set nailed down, and that's what he's talking about. You don't have to do it. Some people can't get a grip around having eternal life. But John says you can do it. But you don't want to wait till you die to find out. You ought to get it done on this side, and that's what Scripture's about. So if you're here this morning, and you're on the fence, I see it both ways, but I just don't know. Hopefully today we'll answer some questions. In verse 13, John implies, again, same verse a while ago I said, but he implies it's possible for a person to be saved and not have assurance. We know that. He implies that. But he says, there are people that, hey, they don't have the assurance, but I'm telling you, you can know. So it's a decision, it's a choice that people have to make. People have doubts, and they probably doubt because maybe they don't feel like they live good enough, they act right enough, they might not react properly, they might not talk right all the time. And so they're just kind of looking at themselves and thinking like, no, a Christian shouldn't do this, and they shouldn't do that, and they shouldn't do this. And so they're looking at works, behavior, conduct, actions, and they're looking at that going like, am I really a Christian? So just to be clear, God don't want his children to worry, to doubt, to lack assurance concerning being saved or not. No. He don't want it to be a guess. Now, another reason some folks have doubts is because God is calling some folks to a higher plane, higher position. He's to a a place of service, maybe. And maybe they don't get it, and they just don't feel like that they're worthy, good enough, can fit in that position. And so they don't respond to God's call on their life or a spiritual gift that God gives them. And so they don't respond because they're going like, now he surely wouldn't pick me for this. And because they're beating themselves up or low self-esteem or low spiritual value, they think. So three things real quick, and it is pretty quick. Number one, the source of eternal life. There's a little outline in the bulletin this morning. The source of eternal life is verse 11. The source. And this is the record that God had given us eternal life. So the source is that God gives out, God gives, God allows, and God gives us that benefit, that perk, that comes along with salvation. We not only get saved from our sins and forgiven of our sins, but we also get this thing called eternal life. The source is God himself. It says it right there. Eternal life is a gift from God. It can't be earned. It can't be bought. It can't be based on merit. It's not warranted to somebody for something you've done or didn't do. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. We just saw that in our opening statement today out of Romans 6:23. When someone gives you a gift, someone gives me a gift. Someone offers you a gift. Someone offers me a gift. You, me, us, we have a choice. Accept the gift or reject the gift. You have a choice. It's a gift. You can take it, not take it. If you offer to pay the person who offers you a gift, then you really offend that person. It's a gift they want to give. My preacher, Brother Neil, he told us, he said, look, if the Lord lays it on someone's heart to give you something, thank them. And my preacher taught me that. So I'm teaching you that. If someone wants to give you something, don't say, oh, no, that's too much. Or don't say, let me pay for that. My preacher also taught me, and I'll teach you, that if someone offers to give you something or give me something, just accept it. Don't beat that person out of a blessing that's given them. God's put on their heart. God's given them a generous spirit, a generous heart to do something. There's people like that in your life, in your circle, in our church. If they do that, hey, it's a free gift. This is a free gift. Eternal life's a free gift, comes along with salvation. Hey, the source is God gives the gift. And so the gift of eternal life is probably the costliest gift that's ever been given. Because it cost God his son and his son his life. That was the payment for eternal life. So it is some gift that's free. Not merited, not earned, can't be bought, can't be bartered for, can't be worked for. It's a gift that God, costly gift. It cost God his only begotten son. It cost his only begotten son his life on the cross. All the money in the world could not purchase the gift. Jesus' death was not a down payment on that gift. And when you accepted it or we got it at salvation, that was just the down payment, and then you got to simply pay the rest of it by doing good works and feeding the poor and giving to the church and sending the pastor to Israel. It's a free gift. The source of it is Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it in full. So there's no down payment. There's nothing you have to do. Now, you get saved, you begin to grow from a babe in Christ to a mature Christian, and you begin to grow, and you begin to want to serve the Lord and do things and do all that. And that's what happens. That's the normal cycle, the normal journey. But hey, but it's already paid in full. You don't work for salvation. You work after you're saved because you have a love in your heart and you want to serve others when it comes to Christ. The one and only way to receive this gift is to simply receive the gift. Now, big John, this is little John. Same author. But so 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John is kind of referred to as little John. And then the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that John, same author. And John is writing. We call that big John. So in big John's Gospel, here's what he says about it. But as many as received him. 1 John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So that's salvation experience. So we receive Christ as our personal Savior, and we get the gift of salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and along with that comes the gift of eternal life. To receive, accept, and call upon, or to believe in Jesus, it is all terms of salvation. As a 10-year-old boy, when I was 10 years old, the Holy Spirit worked on my life, drawing me, convicting me, pricking my heart as just a young 10-year-old boy. Convicting me, and I had to realize that I was a sinner and realize that Jesus paid my price for my sin on the cross. And with childlike faith as a 10-year-old boy, childlike faith, that's all it was. I just believed the Bible. The pastor told me this is the Bible. It's God's word. You can trust it. I did. And here's what Jesus did for you. And I believed it and I accepted it. And I did that, what Scripture says. And I received the best gift I've ever received. And that was salvation as a 10-year-old boy. Since then, I've learned more about the Holy Spirit, learned more about those things that we just talked about. You learn more, but as a 10-year-old boy, that's how I just received the gift of salvation. So the source of eternal life is there in verse 11. God gives eternal life. The second thing, the substance of eternal life. Look at verse 12. Here's the substance. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So the substance is found in that verse 12. 8 billion people, we talked about that probably last week, 8 billion people living on earth, as far as we know right now. All 8 billion have one, they have one out of two destinations that they're going to end up at. They're either going to end up in a place called heaven or a place called hell. They're either going to end up with eternal life or eternal death. Two destinations. And John says there, present tense, he that hath, got it right now. He got it. He that hath the Son hath life. There it is. Titus 3:5, it says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That word regeneration is a big word we don't hear about. It's a Bible word, a Bible term. And what it simply means is that when you were born and I were born, our biological parents, we received parental biological genes from our parents. You did and I did. Now, you didn't know that was going on. I didn't know that was going on, but that's what happened. We received genes of our ancestors, our parents, our biological parents, parental genes. We received physical genes at birth. So we got parental genes, we got physical genes, we got earthly genes, okay? That's all this world that we're born into. We got that from the world. But when we had the spiritual birth, when we got born again, we got saved. You listening? Here it goes. Then we received divine genes, heavenly genes, spiritual genes. And that's what it says there. Through the washing of regeneration, that regeneration means we were redeemed spiritually. And what that means is that if you've been born one time, you got temporal genes. If you've been born twice, born physically, born spiritually, you was born again, then you've received eternal genes. He that hath a son hath life. That's scripture. You got him, he's got you. If you've got him, you've got eternal life. If you've got eternal life, then it's eternal security. You can be assured with confidence and know that you have eternal life. The one and only way to solve the sin question is to solve the S-O-N question, the son question. You want to solve your sin question? You got to simply go to the S-O-N, the Son of God. When any person receives the S-O-N, the Son, that's Jesus Christ, as personal Savior, the Son received their R, my sin debt. We receive Him. He receives our sin debt, puts it on His record, takes it off our record. And that's regeneration. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He redeemed us. He atoned for our sins. He paid the debt in full. So the source of eternal life, God Himself, the substance, is the Son. Whosoever hath the Son hath eternal life. Thirdly, and last of all, real quick, the security of eternal life. Verse 13, the security. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, there it is, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, John uses the word know again. No guesswork, you can know. No presumption, you can know. Get it down. He says you can know. You want to go worry about it? You can. You want to just wonder about it? You can. You want to die before you know where you're going? You can. Hey, no, you can know. The surety of eternal life, you can know. We are partakers of the certainty of God's word. We're partakers of it. Ephesians 4:30, we are sealed into the day of redemption. When you got saved, God sealed you. That keeps you. In Bible times, kings would wear a signet ring. And when he had that sign, a edit, edict, documentation, new law, new mandate, then the king would stamp the scroll, the document, the paperwork, he would stamp it with the signet ring to simply make it official. He would stamp it with that. It simply told people, this is official. This is under the king's authority. And any kind of contract, any kind of letter, any kind of note, kind of document. And that signet ring seal, stamped, simply meant it was a seal of a final transaction, the sign of ownership, the sign of security. And so that's what that ring was for. It sealed it, made it official. Greater than a king's ring. Greater than a king's stamp. Greater than a king's authority in the Old Testament is the seal of the Holy Spirit, which guarantees the keeping of our position in Christ as God's purchased possession. God's purchased us. And so we have to simply by faith accept that. Now let me close. Here we go. My former life, we'll talk a little bit about it. I travel a lot most generally. In my last several years, I'd leave the airport on Monday morning, come back on Thursday. Have an office day on Friday. So I'd fly on the airport, I'd go to the airport, I'd fly to my destination, try to get there, and then I'd go to the rental counter. Every now and then I might have a rep I was working with in the area pick me up, and that normally kind of caused a lot of chaos, and if you went into Dallas or went into a big airport, then that's kind of what happened. And so normally we get a rental car, and so I'd go to the rental car hub, and I'd go there, and I'd simply stand in line. And then I'm getting my stuff out, my reservation out, my MasterCard, my American Express card then. I'm getting my photo ID out, driver's license. I'd get up there and hand it to them. How can we help you, sir? And I'd hand that to them. And they go, well, Mr. Bradford, we're sorry to tell you, but we have no mid-sized cars available. And I said, well, did you see that reservation? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have your reservation, they say, in some cases. We just don't have a car. In other words, they can take a reservation, but didn't hold the reservation. They didn't come through. Have you been there? I've been there several times. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a reservation for heaven? Because Jesus said, right before he went back to heaven, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Let me ask that question again. Do you have a reservation in heaven? Because not only does Jesus take our reservations, not only does Jesus know about our reservations, but Jesus holds our reservations. He said, where I am, there you may go. You can know. And so the Bible says, John says, the source of eternal life, God gives us eternal life. It's a gift. The substance of eternal life is those that have the Son have eternal life. The security of eternal life is that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life. Here's what John said. Let me close. Two verses and I'm done. In John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I give unto them eternal life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. This is Jesus talking. He said, I know my sheep, they know me. He says, they're my sheep. He says, no man can steal them from me, nobody can get them from me, no more can kill. He said, I got my hand though. But he don't close here. The last verse I'll say is he says, my Father gave them me. And no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So get the picture. Eternal life is real. Because Jesus said, I've got my hand on you. Nobody can get you. And he said, greater than that, my Father has his hand on my hand. And they got to get my Father's hand off, my hand off, and nobody's able to do it. That is eternal life. That is eternal security. That is something we can know, have confidence, assurance, certainty about that wonderful gift called eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for John. We thank you, Lord, for these amazing verses. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing truth. We thank you, Lord, for this thing that gives us joy and peace and strength, Lord, as we try to live for you and serve you on earth. We just pray, Father, that you put it in our hearts just to trust you, just to let go of anything we think we have to do or earn or have to work for. Lord, just help us to trust in faith. And Lord, that you, man of your word, and the word of God is trustworthy and we can depend on it. And so Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, you will give us that confidence today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The room will lead us in our invitation. We can help you come.
Just as I am without.
You have your reservation? You have to have a reservation. You don't have to wait till you die. You don't have to wait till you depart. You don't have to wait till I'm preaching your funeral to find out. You can know. You can know. Do you know that you know that you know?
To thee, O man of God, I come.